We're going to turn to Acts 17 again. Just want to leave a few thoughts with you as we come to pray. Just want to take 10 minutes or so to think about Paul going here into Athens. And with God's word open, we'll pray and we'll ask the Lord to bless what we have to say this evening. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, and let's pray that the Lord would just help us to even have an understanding of the times we live in, as we seek to be witnesses for the Lord, where we work and where we labour, where we go in a social time, as we live for Him and be witnesses for Him in the middle of this culture. Pray that the Lord would help us all to understand something of this culture, and I do believe we see something from Acts 17 that definitely. Relates to the age that we live in. Father, we thank you for the work of God that goes on throughout the world. We thank you for the gospel that gets spread across borders through various organizations, various mission stations, and various churches. We thank you for the work, the mission work, even of the Free Church. We think of how many work under it, the missionaries, those that labour in various schools and on the mission field that are run under the mission board. We think of the many financial responsibilities. And we know, Lord, that you meet all of those needs. And Lord, we just thank you that the work of God continues to be sustained throughout the world, wherever your word is sent out. And we thank you that thy word is truth. And we thank thee, Lord, that as it is sounded out, the truth of God's word is being presented before sinners. It's being presented before believers, and it's being used by the Holy Spirit to convert and change the hearts of men and women and young people and boys and girls throughout the world in places that we perhaps have never even heard of. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless us as we come around thy word tonight, and you'd cause us, Lord, tonight to be encouraged. And we pray that thy word would take a grip on our hearts to help us even reach this generation and reach those around us in the age which we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. First of all, I just want to say that there are three examples that show us where the gospel, that is Jesus Christ's sufferings, death and resurrection, was presented to the Jews in different locations, who were the prophecies in the Old Testament were used. The Old Testament was read from, and the gospel then was preached. We look at Acts 2, for example. We'll not take time to turn to it, but you remember there on the day of Pentecost, the Jews who had cried out for Christ to be crucified, they were individuals who knew the Word of God, they knew the Old Testament Scriptures, and those who preached to them, knowing that, used the Old Testament Scriptures, using the prophecies in the Old Testament, to show who this Jesus was, who they had crucified on the cross. And whenever Paul comes into Thessalonica in Acts 17, you'll see that in verse 3, it says that he opened and alleged that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And he showed that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And you'll notice in the end of verse 2 that he was there on the Sabbath days reasoning with them out of the Scriptures. It was there in Thessalonica he was preaching to Jews also, people who knew the Old Testament Scriptures. And from the Old Testament Scriptures, he showed that Jesus Christ is who was spoken of in the Old Testament. You can read as to why Paul had to go to Berea, but when he gets to Berea in this same chapter, you can see that he went into the synagogue there also and preached to the Jews. And in verse 11, these, it says, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And what did they do? What did they go away and do after Paul reasoned out of these Scriptures? They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Those things that Paul was preaching about Christ, he was showing them that Christ must needs have suffered. And then they went away and searched the Scriptures. They went back to the Old Testament Scriptures, looked at the prophecies. You can imagine it, picture it in your mind, what they would have read in light of what each of us know about the Old Testament Scriptures and the promises of a coming Savior. In each of these three occasions, the Jews were being reached with the Gospel, but having the Old Testament Scriptures read, showing that Jesus was the Christ. Here in these three instances, the message of the Gospel was brought to individuals who understood the Old Testament to be the very Word of God. They had the revelation of the Creator God. They had an understanding of the origin of life, creation, how Jehovah Himself created the world, laying down its foundation. The Jews, they had a record of a historical Adam, that is, in the Old Testament. They understood they were descendants of one man. They understood they were sinners because one man sinned. They could trace back the genealogies right back to Adam, right through the Old Testament Scriptures. These people had an accurate record of historical events, and through God's revelation, understood who He is and His plan for redemption through a sinless Savior and Redeemer. That's the background of the people that were being reached with the Gospel, having the Old Testament Scriptures used to preach to these people. But I want you to notice the difference in culture when Paul goes into Acts chapter 17. Very briefly, I just want this, to point this out. We notice there, while Paul waited for Timotheus and Silas at Athens, it says, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We're going to think about that in a few moments' time. But just want to mention that he did go in to preach in the synagogue there too, but he did go into the market as well in verse 17, the market daily with them that met with him. And then in verse 18, who came to him to show us what type of people, what sort of culture this is? It says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. The Epicureans, they were materialists who they didn't believe in a spiritual world. They're really like modern day humanists or modern day naturalists, atheists. We hear that commonly spoken of today. People saying they're atheists and they believe they don't need their emotions or they don't need their emotional needs met with anything that's spiritual. Everything's material. The Stoics, they were individuals who took their truth from all different sources. We've heard of meditation. We've heard of meditation on the Word of God. That's what we mean by it. But we've heard of meditation where there's the thought where people meditate and allow their minds to go to wherever their minds go to. And whatever their mind thinks about or latches on to with their thought, they take it as truth and they try to apply it to their lives. Now, we know that's wrong. There is only one ultimate truth, and it's the Word of God, and that's what we must meditate on. But the Stoics were individuals who are really like New Agers today. They give themselves over to meditation, and you can really have a number of truths or places where you can get your truths from. And that's really the type of culture that we live in today, folks. You know, as we look out into Belfast, a city near you, and as we look out into our towns, and as I look into young people's minds and hearts, well, I can't see their hearts, but I can see them in their lives and the way they live, and it shows me their heart. We see something of this, where truth for people today is what they think truth is. They'll say that, I believe that this is true. You can believe what you think's true about this same thing that I think's true, but what I believe is true for me. And that's the type of age that we live in today. And it's not a generation. This generation that we're seeking to reach, its culture is not founded on the Word of God like those of the Jews that were preached to in Acts 2, in Acts 17 in Thessalonica, the Jews in Berea, the Jews in Athens, who went to the synagogues, who knew the Old Testament Scriptures. I'm reaching young people in these classes who know either little or nothing of the foundations that are found in Genesis. They know little or nothing of the Old Testament scriptures, of the prophecies. They have little understanding or no understanding whatsoever of what the Bible is all about. This is the culture that we are seeking to reach, and it's a difficult culture to reach. And I know you'll agree, we're all living our lives in this country, and we're living our lives in our own communities, and we're going out and coming in. And we, I'm sure, or you, I'm sure, can identify with that. The culture is not the same as perhaps what it once was, even long before I was born, and before some of us were born in this church tonight. Culture in Northern Ireland is changing very, very quickly. Notice, secondly, we saw, first of all, the culture. See briefly the distinction in Paul's preaching. Whenever he was took in verse 19, they took him because they heard him preaching of Jesus and the resurrection. They took him, they brought him to Areopagus, the highest court in Athens, and that was on Mars Hill, and they wanted to know what this new doctrine whereof he spoke of was, because he brought to them, you can read in verse 20, certain strange things to their ears, and they wanted to know therefore what these things meant. And we see more of that culture, by the way, in verse 21. All the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So that sums up that culture. But notice in verse 22, we read of Paul on Mars Hill, and he begins to preach in the middle of that verse. I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. That tells us something more about their culture, by the way, but we're thinking about Paul's distinction in preaching. Paul had preached in Thessalonica and Berea, and he had preached to the Jews also in Athens. Peter had preached to the Jews in Acts 2. He reasoned with them out of the Old Testament scriptures, using prophecies to teach them of Christ who had suffered. And Paul comes in straight away to this culture, and he says, you are too superstitious. What does he do straight away? He starts to break up the foundations, I believe, the foundations in their heart. The foundations of that culture that we've just talked about, the Epicureans and the Stoics and what they believed, their belief system. He was attacking directly their belief system. He was destroying that belief system. He's saying you're too superstitious. You're crying out to this unknown God. You have all these gods around you here in Athens, and you even have one to the unknown God, just in case you miss one. They were wrong for doing it. And he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And just very briefly, I just want to point out two things and state them and move on to show you how he preached to them. Because Paul didn't go into this culture and try to go out of his way to reach them in the sense of doing worldly things. He still stuck to the truth of God's word. But you'll notice that he speaks and defines how this world came about in verse 24. God that made the world. He speaks of the origin of the world. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Just want to make this point. We talk about God to this culture that has not been brought up in the things of God. They ask in their minds, whether it's in a classroom, whether it's out in the streets, they ask in their minds, which God? Paul talked to the Jews, he preached to the Jews, Peter preached to the Jews, they mentioned God. Straight away the Jews thought about the God Jehovah, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of earth. They knew all about him, they all knew all the names of the Lord throughout the Old Testament scriptures. We reach this generation, we talk about God, we have to show them who he is, we have to explain who he is. Why? Because they don't understand who he is. Their God is who they believe their God to be. God that made the world and all things therein. He explains that this God is the one who created this world. That's literally what we're teaching this generation as we go about in this ministry that we are involved in to this day. Seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. And then he points out something else. The second thing I wanted to point out. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. It links with the first thing we've just been talking about. This is not a God that is made of some gold, as it says in verse 29, or silver, or stone. graven by art and man's device. Remember, this was a culture that had many gods, and they had many statues, many altars, and they were used to making their man-made gods out of with their own hands and with the materials of the earth. He's saying to them, this is not one that dwells not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He points out their idolatry. So he points out and explains who God is, and he explains what their sin is. We talk about sin in this culture today. That's the second thing. I talk about sin in classes. They go, what's sin? What sin are you talking about? You talk to the Jews, as Peter did, and preached to, and as Paul did, as he preached to them. Sin? They thought of the Ten Commandments straight away. Many young people that we seek to reach, we talk about sin. What sin? I'm okay the way I am. I don't have any sin. We have to explain sin. We have to go back to the Ten Commandments. We have to take time to go through the commandments. We have to explain what each of the commandments are. And very often, you know, in classes, when we're talking about morality and talking about what makes morality, what is morality, what is ultimate truth, I get young people to take a blank piece of paper and write down just simply what is right and what is wrong. And that really, really shows you what young people are thinking, this generation are thinking in today's age. We're just simply writing down what things that are right, things that are wrong, to show them that there is a right way to live and to show them that there is a wrong way to live. Paul's distinction in preaching, we don't see him using prophecies from the Old Testament, although that is something that we can do, to reason from the Scriptures with people. But we see Paul reaching a culture that knows nothing of the Creator. They don't see their ignorance in making their gods of gold and silver and all of those things. They don't see their sin. And Paul's pointing that out to them. And you know, folks, as we seek to reach this generation, we have to go back to those two things: who God is and sin. That's the starting point. Show them from Genesis, to show them that that is important. Now, I said I wouldn't take too long with each of the points, but I have to say it. Peter, or Paul, when he preached, didn't stop there, because you read it in your own time, you read the end of the chapter, that he did preach repentance, verse 30. He still preached repentance. There's many that take this chapter and say, see, you know, we can reach people with different methods and different means. We don't need to reach this culture the same way that we try to reach young people or people who have been brought up in church. We just need to try and do some loads of other things. Paul still preached repentance. He still preached in verse 31 of righteousness. He still preached of Christ. In the middle of that verse, it talks about the world, how he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. And he preaches of the resurrection at the end of that verse, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He still preaches on all of these things. Lastly, I want to leave time to pray. Notice the diversity in the response. Look at the end of the chapter, verse 32. It says, first of all, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. There's the first group of people. You know, as we go into classes, I find, well, up until the lockdown at the start of the year, I found more and more from here and there, not all the time, but I did find a little bit more and more, depending what you spoke on, some mocked, some asked you questions just to have a go, and we had to give an answer for certain things. But you know, there's those that mock the Word of God. Others said, secondly, we will hear thee again of this matter. Those that we've reached in classes, there are openings in people's minds to ask more questions and listen and to hear more. And we can be encouraged by that. The last group of people that are mentioned, so Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. It's believed that there were at least 70, 60 something, I can't just remember exactly. They needed 60 something apparently in history to have that court assembly on Mars Hill. I can't remember the exact figure, thereabouts. And it's believed that there were at least 60, 70 people there. I don't know how many exactly, maybe many more. But out of that 70 to 100, whatever it was, there were some some that believed. There weren't many out of that culture. There were many Jews that came to know the Lord. They had an understanding of the Scriptures. When we come to this culture, there weren't many. But you know what? There are still a few. And I trust that you will remember this work in your thoughts and in your prayers as all other parts of God's work. As we seek to reach this culture in this land and our nation, across the world, you think of different people who reach all these cultures who have not been brought up in the truth of God's Word, that you will pray that God would speak to them through the truth of His Word and save them through it. It might not be many, but in our land today, there are ones and twos who are coming to the Lord. There's people I've heard of in the past few months, in our own local church, other churches, through the drive-ins that happened in the summer, people coming to know the Lord. That's encouraging. Whether they've been brought up in a Christian church or whether they're from different backgrounds, I'm not sure of all their backgrounds, but there are people out of this culture who will be saved. The Lord is saving souls out of this culture. He's saving souls out of this generation, whatever background they're from. And the Lord is continuing to build this church. And while it's the day of small things, we should not despise it. And we should keep praying that the Lord would just bless His word.